A very good morning to one and all, and remember to pray for all our brethren who are not with us because of traveling, either for business, but many, I believe, on vacation. And we have quite a list. If you come on Wednesday night, you'll know. So many of our people are traveling during this period. And we thank God for time where we have to take rest and to relax and also to recharge ourselves so that we can continue into the new year if he tarries to serve him. Let me invite you once again to turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 10. We have two messages more to go. Today, Daniel 10, next Sunday, Daniel 11, and 27, the last Sunday of the year, we will look at chapter 12 and wrap things up. All right? This morning's topic is on angels. Allies or adversaries. Now, in Daniel's last recorded vision, which covers three chapters from chapter 10 to chapter 12, we see an angel appearing to the prophet, revealing to him the history of Israel in this last vision from the Persian period until the time of the coming of the kingdom of God. And these chapters, particularly the content of the vision in chapter 11, covers the same matters dealt with earlier in the book, but in much greater detail concerning the Greek Empire. Additional information also is divulged about the Antichrist in this last vision and the tribulation period of the last days. Now, a threefold division of the final vision is apparent in these three chapters. We see the setting of the vision, chapter 10, verse 1 to 11, verse 1, contents of the vision, chapter 11, verse 12 to chapter 12, verse 3, and final instructions to Daniel in verses 4 and 13. Chapter 10 introduces the setting to the vision. And its significance is that it states or implies important facts relative to angels and demons and their respective interests in the people and the work of God. The world of angels is much more believed today than it was a generation ago. Even in movies, you are reminded of angels and demons. You have the show City of Angels, Exorcist. There's a word I can't pronounce, so you pardon me, I'm going to try. Paul Turgist. And Hellboy. These shows are about demons. And there are people today who believe in angels and demons, but they may not necessarily be Christians. And I hope that you and I do not get our theology and understanding of angels and demons from all these shows. Even in the TV, you have touched by an angel. And when I was a little boy, I remember a cartoon show called Casper. Anybody remember watching Casper? If you remember, you are pretty old. So what's important is not what the world say and thinks about angels and demons, but what does the Word of God say and teach us? And so today in Daniel chapter 10, we have a glimpse of the unseen world as described in the Bible. You remember that today we talk a lot about infection, right? Infection, taken for granted. When you sneeze, when you cough, oh, you got an infection. You know, where does the infection come from? Well, now we know, because 200 years ago, we have no concept of microorganisms. Until a man by the name of Louis Pasteur, who confirmed the theory of germs. So, 200 years ago, no one knew, no one know about fungus and bacteria and virus, and no one knows because that was a totally unseen world. But that unseen world in the physical realm is very real, and it impacts our lives. And I think many in these 2 months, and especially during the haze, we get quite sick. And they are calculating the cost of what it cost Singapore, you know, this last haze. I'm not sure you watch the news. So they'll tell you how much it cost in this year, 2013, and now 2014. They're going to reveal it in the documentary. So when you think about the spiritual warfare, the angelic realm, just because you and I do not see it doesn't mean it does not exist. In fact, it is very real, and it impacts our lives. And therefore, the Bible tells us not to be ignorant of these things. Do not be oblivious. And yet, on the other hand, we are not to be obsessed by it. Rather, we should be watchful and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking to devour God's people. So we need to be observant. Allies. There are two types of angels taught in the scripture. We have the elect angels. We call them the good angels. They are allies to God's people. Do angels really exist? Well, the teaching about angels is widely diffused throughout scripture. Their existence is mentioned at least 34 books of the Bible. And the Lord Jesus himself spoke of the real existence of angels. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18. And you help me read verse 10. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. And verse 10. All right, if you turn to it, would you please read for me? Take heed. Thank you. Let's turn to also Matthew 26, verse 53. Matthew 26 and verse 53. All right, please read together. Who said this? The Lord Jesus. He spoke about angels. And what can be more authoritative than the teaching of our Savior himself about angels? Now, today I'm just going to give you an overview of the world of angels. If you want to go in-depth study into the elect angels and Satan and the devil and the demons, there are many books you can go to, especially systematic theology books. I recommend you Ryrie, Thiessen, and others. You can also go to ISBE, International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, and you have a topic on angels. You can also get the book by Larry Richards, Every Angel in the Bible. All right, and you can do your own detailed study into this. But today, we will just have an overview of it. So do angels really exist? The Lord Jesus in the Bible says, yes, they are real. What are angels like? Well, if you watch movies and TV, you may see some angels that look like that. Right? Very cute little angels. You go to Precious Moments, you see many of them. All nice little angels on display. But do angels look like that? Well, let me just say a few things first. State some facts that we know. All right? Angels are created beings. One of those creation of God mentioned in Colossians 1:16. And therefore, we should not worship angels. Angels, secondly, are personal beings. In other words, they possess intelligence, emotions, and will like you and I. Right? We are personality. We are personal beings. However, they are different in that they are spirit beings. So they do not have physical bodies, although they can appear to certain individuals that we see in the scripture. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1 and verse 14. Hebrews 1 verse 14, shall we read together? Are they not all? So they are ministering spirits. Apparently, they are without the power to reproduce after their kind. That is, baby angels are never born. So turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Let's take a look at the passage of Scripture. Mark 12:25. Mark 12:25, let's read it together. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. All right, so there was a question posted to Jesus that if a man marries and then subsequently he has many other wives following, in heaven, who is his wife? Because he had seven. And the Lord says, you are ignorant. Because in heaven, they will be like the angels. They neither marry nor are given in marriage. Angels are never born. They are created by God. They do not die. And they are always designated by the masculine gender in scriptures. But I want to mention an exception. In Zechariah 5:9, there seems to be a possible exception. But the majority of the appearances of angels, you'll find that the masculine gender is given to them. They have wings which they fly, and therefore they can travel swiftly through distances that you and I cannot. All right? And they are innumerable. Hebrews 12:22. We won't refer to that. innumerable. But one of the interesting characteristics of angels is the fact that they are organized. And Michael is the only angel designated an archangel in Jude 9. And under these top rulers, there seem to be other angel functionaries, as Ephesians 3:10 tells us, principalities and powers. And believers seem to have a guardian angel assigned to them, as do children in Matthew 18, verse 10. Some apparently have to do particularly with the worship of God, so you find they are seraphims in Isaiah 6, referred to as seraphim. Others guard His holiness, and they are called cherubim in Genesis 3, 22 to 24. Angels are organized. This is an important point. And I think the lesson we can learn is that if angels need to be organized in order to do God's will effectively, then so do God's people need to be organized for the same reason. What are angels like? Well, these are the facts. How do they look when they appeared to Daniel? I have no idea, except what is described just now in our scripture reading. Very glorious appearance. And when Daniel met with the angel, what happens to him? He had no strength left in him. All right? And the angel have to touch him. Now that's the real touch of the angel. All right? To strengthen him. So whenever a supernatural being like angels appear, you and I will fall prostrate. Like Daniel did. What do angels do? Why did God create them? Well, the ministry of angels seems to fall into some well-defined categories. Firstly, we see their ministry to Christ, which we sang earlier, Angels in the Realm of Glory. All right? So we see what the angels do. There was an extra measure of angelic activity during the Lord's lifetime. We see them predicting His birth in Luke chapter 1, announcing His birth in Luke chapter 2. And they protected Him as a baby in Matthew chapter 2. They strengthened our Lord after His temptation in Matthew chapter 4. They were prepared to defend Him from His enemies. Matthew 26:53, we read earlier, He could have called 10,000 angels. But He did not, because He came for the purpose of dying on the cross for you and me and the sinner, all the world of sinners. So their ministry to the Lord. They strengthened Him in Gethsemane. They roll away the stone from the tomb and announce His resurrection in Matthew 28. And remember, during His ascension in Acts chapter 1, there were two angels that appeared to the apostles who were gathered to witness His ascension. Then we have their ministry to believers. In general, angels help believers. They are ministering spirits. Specifically, this may include being involved in answering prayer, which we see also in Acts chapter 12, not just Daniel, in the book of Daniel, where they were sent by God to say that your prayers have been heard. So in Acts chapter 12, maybe we will look at that. Let's pause there for a while and turn to Acts chapter 12, verse 7. In answer to the prayer of the church, of the early church, for Peter, who was in prison and subsequently will be executed, God sent an angel to deliver him in answer to their prayers. Acts 12, verse 7. Shall we read together, please? And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And then verse 8 says, and the angel said to Peter, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals, and so he did. And he guided the angel out of the prison. Angels are also, sometimes, angels protect God's people in times of danger and gives words of encouragement in Acts chapter 27, 23 to 24. And also in caring for believers at death. I have some unexplainable experiences. Not that I actually see angels, but I think they could have been present. All right. In some of my experiences, I was in very dangerous position. There's one that particular stands out in my mind, and up to today, it scares me when I recall it. You know, but thank God for His mercy. I was in Taipei in 2012, going to preach in a church for 2 months. They asked me to help them for 2 months. So I was traveling there with my luggage, big one, staying 2 months, and I was going up the escalator to take their MTR, all right, in Taipei. As I was going up this escalator, it was very steep escalator, and halfway through the journey up to the train station platform, I pulled my luggage. And then I lost my balance. The luggage was going to fall off, so I was trying to pull it back, and I somersaulted. And when I was somersaulting, I say, oh, that's it, man. I'm a dead man. You know, I'm a dead man, because you somersault at the escalator with the luggage right in front of you. But the next moment, to my surprise, I was standing upright. And by the way, I'm not a gymnast. Never did gymnastics in school at all. I hate gymnastics because very grueling physically. Yeah? You have to really train your muscles and so on. Right? And I stood upright. And everything was stabilized. The luggage didn't fall down on me and so forth. And after being shocked for a while, you know, I thank God that He was merciful in that situation. Now, He could have sent an angel, I do not know, to protect me, to help me. The same experience with my mother. When she was going to church one day, going up an escalator in Singapore, she said she felt giddy, she fainted, and she just fell down the escalator. But thank God, fortunately, a few of her church friends were behind and they hold her up, you know. And then there were incidents where I was crossing the road, being young at that time, very rash, rushing through, you know. And sometimes vehicles are stopped in the traffic light and you were trying to cross over. Motorbike coming at a corner. Wow, very close. I turned my face, it was almost hitting me. Brake, nothing happened, you know. So all these dangerous situations, I think sometimes God uses His ministering spirits. But please don't be reckless and say, oh, God will protect me, so I can chincha chiong. Please don't do that. All right, you are to be careful only in situation where I guess you are not in control, that God in His mercy may do something for us. Thirdly, their ministry to the nations of the world. We have already noticed that Michael is designated the archangel, and he's also specially related to Israel as her guardian. Daniel 12 verse 1 tells us that. It seems too that other nations have angels assigned to them, as we will see in Daniel chapter 10, if you continue reading to the end of the chapter. Clearly, angels will be involved in executing the judgments of the tribulation period on the nations of the world at that time. And we see this in Revelation chapter 8, chapter 9, as well as chapter 16. And finally, their ministry to unbelievers. their ministry to unbelievers. It was an angel, Acts chapter 12 tells us, who smote King Herod, which resulted in his death as punishment for his arrogance. Acts 12, 23. At the end of the age, the Bible tells us angels will act as the reapers who separate the righteous from the wicked, the goats from the sheep. Matthew 13, 39. And these are some of the things that good angels do. And we call good angels the elect angels. But there are also angels who are God's adversary and our adversary. And the Bible tells us that Satan is real, and so are his demons. While good angels help believers, evil angels seek to hinder our spiritual welfare. What are these evil angels like? Well, demons are not the souls or spirits of departed humans. Please. All right? They are created spirit beings of God who followed Satan in his rebellion against God. They are angels who fell with Satan, and the Bible gives indications that they knew or know who Jesus is, and they also know their eventual doom, that their days are numbered, and God's judgment upon them will be soon. Angels, by the way, the demons, Satan and his demons are also very well organized, by the way. And that is given to us in Ephesians 6, verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, and so on. And they promote a very well-developed system of their own doctrine. All right? False doctrines. False prophets. They are all the work of the evil one. And apparently their doctrinal deception will become increasingly active at the close of the church age. So the activity of demonic activity is real in the world. And that is why sometimes, logically, we just cannot explain certain things. Why certain things happen in a certain church, and it is so clear they did wrong, and still we have 15,000 people supporting them. You know, why cannot see reason? Wrong is wrong, right is right. No one is above the law of God. And no one is above the law of the state. If you commit a criminal offense, you pay for it. You see? So why? Can't explain. Why are people blinded? 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world has blinded their minds to the gospel. And I guess in this sense, deception. What do demons do? In general, they are under the control of Satan. In particular, they can inflict diseases. They can possess animals and also humans. And they promote false doctrine. Demons also seem to be concerned with the affairs of nations, as we see in Daniel chapter 10. The prince of the kingdom of Persia hindered the angel from coming to Daniel until Michael came to help this angel. Now, the angel described in our scripture reading is a very glorious being. And because of that description, some people think it was the angel of the Lord referring to the pre-incarnate Christ. But if you read on in the chapter, you find that probably the angel of the Lord would not need the help of Michael. And there are also other statements there which I will not go into detail. You read for yourself and come to your own conclusion. Now I want to touch a little bit on Satan and then make some application. Does Satan really exist? Well, the existence of Satan is widespread in the scripture, found in at least 7 Old Testament books and referred to by every New Testament writer, and based on Christ's own words. There's one particular thing he said to the Pharisees in John chapter 8, verse 44. He says, "You are of your father, the devil." You see? And he calls the devil the father of what? Liars. Liars. What is Satan like? Satan is a creature, we need to remember, not the creator. He is also a spirit being, and he belonged to the order of angels called cherubim. Satan, however, seems to be the highest created angel. Ezekiel 28. But because of pride, we know that he fell into sin and he's an antagonist of God and his people. And the very name Satan means adversary, while the name devil means slanderer. Sometimes we use the word devils, you know, plural. But actually, there's only one devil. Right, but many demons. Maybe we can call all his demons little devils, like we can call Christians little Christ. You know. And what is the believer's defense against Satan or his demons? Now, before we go into this, I just want to pause and mention about one teaching that you may come to read or be aware of because of your friends from other churches. All right? And that is due to the description here of the prince of the kingdom of Persia hindering the angel from coming to Daniel, some people have come up with what we call the need to initiate spiritual warfare against territorial demonic forces. What is territorial demonic forces? Well, they will say these are the prince of the kingdom of Persia, prince of the kingdom of Greece. They are angels, fallen angels that are in charge of large territories and people. Of course, in the context of Daniel, it was an empire, right? Very large territory. But only that much is clear, but do we initiate spiritual warfare against territorial demonic forces? For example, some will teach that, well, there is a demon controlling Woodlands. And we need to pray against the demon of Woodlands and chase the demon out of this estate. Do we do that? Now, personally, I don't think so. Because remember what I said, we should not be oblivious, ignorant that of the reality of the unseen world, the world of angels. But secondly, I said we must not be what? Obsessed with it. Some people are so obsessed with demons that they see a demon in everything. Yeah. If somebody is angry, oh, we need to chase a demon of anger out of him or her. If somebody commit adultery, oh, we need to chase a demon of lust in the person. They see a demon in everything, sometimes even in physical things. So don't be obsessed. Let's look at what Scripture says. This is the only passage that gives even a reference to territory about angels. See? But what are the facts written here? I think the teaching that there is that we need to do warfare with all these territorial demonic forces are a bit far-fetched and mistaken if they use Daniel 10 as a proof text. Because Daniel's prayer if you consider and analyze it, has nothing to do with binding demons. Absolutely nothing. Consider the context of chapter 10, and you find that Daniel did not even know about this conflict before the angel told him about it. He didn't know it, isn't it? Until the devil says, well, for 3 weeks I've been hindered, until Michael helped me. He prayed first, then the angel appeared and told him he was hindered. Daniel did not pray after he heard that to bind the prince of Persia. Nothing like that is mentioned. God did not ask Daniel to bind demons or cast them from their geographical sphere. God did not even ask Daniel to pray about this angelic conflict. It was the angel and Michael, the archangel, who dealt with the fallen angels responsible for Persia and Greece, not Daniel. So let us be careful about taking a text of scripture and construct our own theory of spiritual warfare. But having said all this, we must realize that Satan and his demons are powerful spiritual enemies. You and I must not take them lightly. And that is the reason God provides us some equipment. So what is our defense against Satan and his demons? We should first remember what Christ has done for us. And remember, he prays for us in his high priestly prayer in Job chapter 17 that we should be kept from the evil one. And in 1 John chapter 3, he tells us that one of the purposes of his coming was to render inoperative the works of the devil in believers. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Secondly, we should respect or have a right attitude towards Satan because of his power and position. Although he's a fallen angel, he is still a very powerful angel. And Jude 8 and 9 helps us with this. Let's turn to it. Jude, verse 8 and 9. Jude is just before Revelation. So you turn to your last book of the Bible, and you'll find Jude. Jude 8 and 9, let's read together. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. All right, so we need to have a right attitude towards the devil. He's a powerful enemy. Thirdly, we need not fear him. Rather, we need to resist him. As James tells us, resist the devil. Draw near to God. And retreat from the temptations that he presents us. Flee youthful lust. And we should robe ourselves in the armor God has provided so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 18. Put on the whole armor of God, whereby ye may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. And by the way, the scripture reading this morning, my mistake, it should be 6:13. All right, so can you change it and memorize 6:13? Ephesians 6:13. Let's turn to it very quickly. Ephesians 6 verse 13. Together. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. All right, that should be your memory verse. So do commit that to memory. So God has provided us an armor described in verses 10 to 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. We should robe ourselves in the armor he has provided. Every piece of that armor is vital for our protection and also our offense against the evil one. Now, if you have not trusted Jesus as your Savior, I have bad news for you. Because you are defenseless against the devil and his demons. Defenseless. Because he's the prince of the power of the air. And I would urge you this morning to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can defend you. But you need to realize your need of forgiveness of sin. You need to repent of your sin and call upon the Lord Jesus to save you. So flee to him and receive him as your Savior today. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, in conclusion, I hope that you and I do not think of ourselves as tourists in this world. We are not tourists. The scriptural word is pilgrims. We are pilgrims in this world. But we are soldiers of Jesus Christ in battle with the forces of evil. And we must always be prepared to fight. You know, in the army, there's always some call for operation, right? In my days, they call it recall. Today, I don't know what they call it. So you always have to stand by in case there's a war. For us, believers in Jesus Christ, we are always to be alert. Because the adversary walketh about seeking to devour God's people. But thank God for the victory we have through our captain, our King, our Savior, our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may he, as the captain of our soul and of his army, lead us onward and forward till he comes. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. And we pray that this morning, as we learn about the world of angels from your scripture, we may not remain oblivious to the reality of this unseen world. Neither should we be obsessed with the evil forces, but rather help us to be observant, to be watchful, and to be always ready to fight against the forces of evil with the armor that you have provided for us in Christ. Thank you and bless the truth to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.